Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
It is the middle of spring, but yet I went up north, and boy, you guys up north, it's cold. I don't know who turned off the heat, but it should not be cold in the middle of, or the end of April, for goodness sakes. I actually went to the beach recently, and it was like 50 degrees, and I'm thinking, it's April. It should not be 50 degrees anywhere. And I'm sure if you're up in the very top of the United States, you're still shoveling snow. Well, here in Florida, where I reside most of the time, it is a beautiful day. I won't even tell you that it's 90, and I actually thought that it was in the middle of summer. But it's spring here on Mom Talk Radio, and we are happy that you're sharing so your spring day with us. Mom Talk Radio is brought to you by Pre-Mama. Pre-Mama is the nutrient supplement for new and expectant moms. They now have fertility and lactation supplements as well. You can find them at CVS, Target, Amazon, and a whole bunch of specialty stores. Go to drinkpremama.com. So the other day, I was walking into Mass, and the priest at my church stopped me and said, "Oh, don't you do something with women?" And I said, "Yeah, I have a radio show called Mom Talk Radio. That's pretty woman-oriented. Oh, I got to share this book with you." And I'm thinking, okay, what kind of book is my priest going to give me that I could share on Mom Talk Radio? Well, I have to tell you, it is a beautiful book. It's called Your Baby is Speaking to You, and it's by Dr. Kevin Nugent. He actually works with T. Barry Brazelton, a very famous doctor, as we all know. But it's not only beautifully illustrated with pictures, but it's a book about how your baby speaks to you while it's in the womb and outside. And you know those time of their life in those first couple of weeks where you know they're talking to you, but you just haven't established your language with them yet, the newborn language that we all know, like eventually you know what cries go to what type of senses. Anyways, this book explains it all, and it's called Your Baby is Speaking to You, a visual guide to the amazing behaviors of your newborn and growing baby. I'm going to try to get Dr. Nugent on Mom Talk Radio in the coming weeks, but I just wanted to tell you about this book because it was truly, truly a beautiful book, and I'm thinking about giving it as a baby shower gift this week when I go to a baby shower. So we have discovered a lot of new things, a lot of new speakers, and we have them on Mom Talk Radio today. So when we return, we are going to be speaking with the author of Wits, Guts, Grit, All Natural Biohacks for Raising Smart, Resilient Kids. There you have it, Wits, Guts, and Grits when we return.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I am delighted to have with us today Jenna Pincott. She is a science writer and the author of Wits, Guts, Grit, All Natural Biohacks for Raising Smart, Resilient Kids. And I'm excited to hear all about it. She has been interviewed and appeared in the Wall Street Journal and Forbes and Huffington Post and a whole bunch of other places. And she lives in New York, and today she's on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Jenna, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Oh, well, I'm interested in the title. Like, it's a very interesting and unusual title. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, Wits, Guts, and Grit is sort of a play on words, because I'm interested in a lot of the book features the gut microbiome. and its connection to resilience. And I also look at memory and self-control and all these other virtues that we like to see in our kids. So when I talk about wits, guts, grits, especially the word grit is kind of a double entendre because it's and guts referring to both courage and our gut microbiome.
You know, I think what's interesting about it is as parents, I don't know that we necessarily ever focus specifically on that, but why should we?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, we hear about all those great things like resilience and good memory and calm. And recently, you know, we've been hearing a lot about, you know, grit in terms of like resilience, like praising effort and not results and embracing failure and all those great things that come from psychology. But I was also curious about the sort of under the radar forces that underlie those qualities. And so really in this book, in Wits, Guts, Grit, my two kids and I undertook a bunch of experiments and investigations and you know, and everything from that, from, you know, the gut microbiome to nature immersion. We looked at foods and the science of touch, types of exercises and things like that.
And your chapters in the book are really interestingly titled. One area you talk about, let them eat mud cakes. What is a mud cake?
Well, you know, it actually comes from I brought my toddler to the park, to the Central Park in the spring, and we're just like incredibly muddy. And only after, you know, reading so much about the soil microbiome did I actually relax when I saw how disgustingly muddy she was. She just gets like the food, like the mud, you know, she makes mud cakes and she gets it all over her cheeks. It's in her mouth. And she loves it. And I just calmed down. I just kind of got really relaxed about it because there's a lot of really interesting science now that's coming out on the environmental microbiome and soil bacteria and how it can influence our health and our state of mind. And there's one microbe in particular called M. vaccae that's found in plant matter. We all get it when we're in nature and we're touching and eating plants and grasses and we breathe it in and it comes in through little cuts in our skin. And our airways, we breathe it into, and it kind of affects us. It's thought to have a sort of calming effect, which we could all, any parent of a toddler would embrace.
Right.
So yeah, so
right.
Let her eat mud cakes.
So are you saying if the pacifier drops, it's okay to let them put it in their mouth?
Well, I guess I'd say if it drops in nature, if it drops in the mud in nature in a pure place without pesticides and fertilizers and stuff like that, then yes, I think that my kitchen floor is probably not as as great environment as a forest.
What about like perspiration? You have another topic, 99% perspiration. Will you using your body cues for peak performance? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that actually is drawing on some interesting research on, they call it cognitive reappraisal. It's sort of like your awareness of your body's stress response. So like when we hear like a beating, you know, when we feel our beating heart or sweaty palms, you know, a lot of us panic. But with this sort of cognitive reappraisal, it's better to think of it as a boost. It's a way of your body's way of sharpening the mind. And there are some fascinating experiments on students, you know, in which, you know, one group is told that their nervous reaction, their butterflies in their stomach will work in their favor and they'll do better on the test. And, you know, another group was just simply said, oh, you know, anxiety is normal, just relax. And, you know, which group did better? And it turned out that the students who were told to sort of like embrace those, you know, their nervousness, you know, the butterflies are fine. It's, you know, they're going to help you. They did so much better on these tests. It happened to be like a practice GRE test. And those students scored about like 60 points higher. And that was a tremendous difference.
That's really interesting, because my husband always says that. My husband, when my kids say, "Oh, Dad, I'm so nervous about something," my husband always says, it's good to be nervous. So I guess that's where it comes from, that old saying of it, that it's good to be nervous. He says you should worry if you're not nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I found that in my own life, too. Like, when I'm totally zen, actually, I'm not doing as well.
Right.
I mean, I think that with little kids, it can be harder to put this into practice, though, because I think, like with my daughter, I first had to get her in touch with her own body. You know, and she was, when I first started this, she was really little. She was five. And I don't think she had as much body sense as she does now. So, she wasn't aware. She was nervous, but not always aware of it. And then so the first step is to be aware, oh, okay, I am kind of nervous about, you know, performing. And then after that, you can put the lesson in the practice.
Right. And we just have a minute left. Can you tell people where they can find you and where they can find your book, and we want to make sure we get that out there.
Oh, sure. The book should be it's on Amazon and bookstores everywhere, called Wits, Guts, Grit. And you can also find me at my website, JennaPincott.com, and my email address. I'm always happy to respond to more questions.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. We have a link on the website, and really great stuff and things that we might not otherwise think about. You have thought about it for us. When we return, we're going to be turning our attention to the Magical Storybook Travels website. And we're going to hear about children with autism and how easy it is to travel with autistic children and children with special needs.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, everything for how to feed your child to product reviews. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV, your video destination online, where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on MomTV.com. Excited to have with me today a magical mom. She is Nicole. She is the mom that we're putting on the spotlight today. She has three children, 13, 11, and 9, which means she's very busy. And you can find her at magicalstorybooktravels.com. Welcome, Nicole, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. So you kind of take a different approach to travel, and your travel is focused on special needs and focusing on autism travel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. When my son was diagnosed with autism when he was 2.5, we thought, you know, we'd never travel again. It was just so overwhelming and so difficult to go anywhere with him. He'd have meltdowns in the airport, meltdowns at a resort, theme parks, wherever we went. It was really difficult. And, you know, over time, with a little maturity and with some therapies, we really learned a lot of great strategies on how to get him to cope with all the bombardment of sensory issues that he was having. And I had a job previously where I worked in an office. I quit that when he was diagnosed. And I was looking for an at-home job that I could do, and I turned to travel agency, and I started helping other families with autism travel well and with less stress based on all the experience that I had with my own son.
Well, what a gift that is for other, you know, other parents to be able to get your input. What do you think is the easiest place to travel to?
Oh, that's difficult. There's a lot of places that offer some really great programs for kids on the spectrum. Beaches resorts right now in Turks and Caicos and also in Jamaica have some really great programs for families on the spectrum. Also, Disney World, surprisingly, is a pretty great place to go with a kid with a spectrum because they have something called the DAS Pass, the Disability Access Service Card, which allows parents to get a return time for some of the attractions. And Legoland is another great place for kids on the spectrum. They have something called a quiet room on site. So if your child is having a sensory meltdown, you can go to a quiet place until they calm down again.
And I just want to add one thing about the beaches locations is that if you have smaller kids, they actually have the Sesame Street shows, and they have, is it Julia who is the new character, the new Sesame Street puppet with autism? I think her name is Julia.
Yeah, her name is Julia, she's great. Beaches does a great job with her.
Yeah, they really have incorporated her into everything that they do, all their shows and everything. So it's really, really cool. So what about what are some of the considerations before we have to close the segment for parents that they might not have thought about for like staycations or national parks? Is there any, you know, easy kind of little 2-day vacations that you might want to consider in your own neighborhood?
I think a lot of times families with children with autism should start small before that big vacation. Again, start, like you say, with a staycation, maybe one night in a hotel, check out a museum that's local, a children's museum or a science museum that maybe just you can do for an hour or two, and then come back when you've had enough, and then maybe try a restaurant. Start small and then build up to that larger vacation.
Yeah, that's really, really good advice. So real quickly, what will moms find if they go to your website, magicalstorybookstravel.com?
They can find some resources that I have available for families on the spectrum about autism travel. They can also contact me directly where we can talk, and I can make recommendations based on the family's needs. I also have something called autism social story videos that I have that children can watch and get themselves prepped and ready to go on a vacation. Because sometimes even just having that anxiety about going someplace new can be very overwhelming. And if they can watch these videos, they can reduce anxiety and stress for them and for the whole family.
Well, really, really great advice. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we have a link to your website on Mom Talk Radio. So thank you very much. And when we return, we're going to speak with Aaron Odom.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. This is Mom Talk Radio. Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Aaron Odom is our next guest, and she's founder of The Humbled Homemaker, a blog dedicated to grace-filled living and designed to equip and encourage moms in the trenches. You know those moms in the trenches. We all have a large trench. Her southern charm and wealth of inspiration, practical content has drawn an audience of millions over the years. Her and her husband live in the south where they raise their four children. And I'd love to welcome Aaron to Mom Talk Radio. Hey, Aaron.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
You do share a lot of really great stuff on your blog. And one of the things that I notice is that you live pretty well, but you do it on a budget. So what's your secret there?
Number one is being content with what you have and learning that you don't have to keep up with the Joneses. And the second thing is our family, we used to live on a low income, and we discovered that we had an income problem. We didn't have enough money to really support our family. And so we had to learn to create more income. Some families don't have that situation, but they have a spending problem. So they need to learn how to curb spending. So for our family, learning how to create more income has really given us the margin to have more breathing room to be able to live well on a budget.
My problem is I spend too much. So how do you, it's easy to say, okay, I'm not going to spend any money. Like, I will not go to Target sometimes because I'm like, no, I'm just not going to do it because I know I can't physically leave Target for less than $200. So I just won't allow myself to go. But what are your tricks there? I mean, did you have to teach yourself, or are you just born a saver?
You're definitely on the right track by avoiding Target. So that one thing I teach is that you need to discover what your spending triggers are and then to avoid them. I will say, though, that many people, and I did a lot of research with my first book, More Than Just Making It, on what makes people a spender or a saver. And some experts believe that we are genetically predisposed to spending or saving, or sometimes it's whatever our family of origin taught us. For me, I am more naturally frugal. However, my husband is a self-proclaimed spender. So we have those situations in our family, the spender and the saver. And so what I would say is if you do believe you are a spender, what you need to do is exactly what you've done. You need to pay attention to what are those triggers. Do you spend money when you're in Target? Do you find that when you're really hungry, you're going to spend more at the grocery store? Or maybe when you're really tired, you're going to be more tempted to just log on to Amazon and scroll through things that end up in your shopping cart and that you buy. When you identify those triggers, then you can seek to avoid them.
That's for sure. Ugh. You stay in the home and you work in the home. What are the biggest misconceptions about that, do you think?
Well, I do think that there is a misconception that it's just going to be easy to be a work-at-home mom. And many people look at me as just, oh, she must just be a stay-at-home mom that has something on the side. You have to be very self-disciplined. But if you want to stay home with your kids and you are in the situation where your family does need more income, being a work-at-home mom is a very viable option. But it is something that is going to take a lot of work. It's going to take some hustle, especially on the front end when you're setting up a business, but it can be 100% worth it.
What do you think is the most difficult thing about it?
Separating work and personal life, because when you work at home, it all melds together. And so really having that work-life balance, I think, can be even harder for work-at-home moms because, you know, right now I'm in my home office, but right outside the door I can hear the laundry going. And so it's tempting to leave my work and go fold the laundry. But being able to have some clear-cut boundaries of, all right, during this time I'm only working and I'm not going to pay attention to the housework, and then other times really be all in when it comes to the housework and taking care of your children and not thinking about work constantly, not taking the iPhone into the bathroom while you're bathing the kids. And I say that from personal experience because I can remember when my kids were toddlers and I was first building up my blog as a business, I had that iPhone in there with me constantly. And that's something that I regret and I don't want to see moms do anymore.
Yeah, you really have to. I remember I was writing about work-life balance for my website many years ago, and I realized in writing it that I had none. And I had no boundaries around when I, at that time, had my BlackBerry in my hand and when I was paying attention to my children. So you're absolutely right. I think sometimes the line gets really, really blurred.
It really does. And, you know, I read recently the book Boundaries. It's incredible. And I think that it is huge to be able to form those boundaries from the get-go if we can.
Yes, absolutely. So we just have a minute or two left, and I was just wondering what will readers find if they go to your blog, thehumbledhomemaker.com?
Well, they're going to find a mom who is not perfect. I've never pretended to be that Pinterest perfect mom. And so that actually resonates with readers because they can be paralyzed by perfection. Instead, they see a mom who I like to call myself a recovering overwhelmed homemaker. I've learned some tips and tricks along the way, and I am just here for them to find some tips in a grace-filled manner so that they don't feel guilty or beat up. And also, I hope that they will check out my new book, You Can Stay Home With Your Kids. It's on my website. And with that, I will give tips and tricks. I give more than 100 tips and tricks to make staying at home with your kids work on a budget. And part of that might be creating income from home.
Well, thank you so much for all the wisdom that you're willing to share with moms. The website is thehumbledhomemaker.com. Erin Odom, thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. Really appreciate your time because I know you are in the trenches with your kids. And when we return, we're going to be speaking with the author of Bounce, Help Your Kids Build Resilience and Thrive in School, Sports, and Life. Dr. Kate Lund will be here on Mom Talk Radio.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Kate Lund. She is the author of Bounce, Help Your Kids Build Resilience and Thrive in School, Sports, and Life. It's a book for parents, educators, community leaders, and anyone who really has an interest in helping kids become resilient and realize their potential. She has a whole lot of credentials that extend all the way from Boston to Seattle, and she joins us here today in the middle on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Dr. Lund, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for being here. So with all of the knowledge that you have in coaching children and caring for children, and why did you decide to write this particular book?
This book really brings together my perspectives and my experience from three separate standpoints. My own experience as a child growing up with a significant medical condition called hydrocephalus, which caused me to be out of school a lot, caused me to need to be resilient from an early point in life. And that really informed, I think, my early interest in resilience, which has developed over time. So then I became a psychologist. And resilience has really been the cornerstone of my work as a psychologist, helping folks to move through and beyond challenge, to develop a new sense of normal when it's necessary, that sort of thing. And then finally, I'm a mom of 10-year-old twins. And so observing them go through the trials and tribulations of, you know, daily life in school adds to the mix and adds to my perspective in this topic area.
So you've got a little knowledge coming in from just about every aspect of your life. Let's talk about resilience. And why is it so important to build resilience in children? And, you know, because is it something you really build, or is it something you hear a lot? People will say, oh, kids are resilient. You don't have to worry about that decision. They'll get over it. Is it really something that they're just born with? So what's the debate there, and where do you fall?
Right. And there is a bit of a debate there. And we know, that some children are inherently more resilient than others from the get-go. But that's not to say that all children can't benefit from, you know, a specific program or approach or help, in essence, in becoming more resilient, because all children face challenges from one time to another, whether it be sort of an ongoing challenge in the form of a medical illness or a learning disability or something that causes them to stand out and be different from their peers, or if it's more of a, you know, so to speak, minor challenge day to day, struggling on a particular math test or not being able to answer a question in school or a social challenge. So all children, long way of saying all children can benefit from tools and training to help them become even more resilient than they might be at baseline.
Yeah, that's really, really good advice. And what about the importance of optimism in a child?
Right. And so optimism is really one of the cornerstones of a child's ability to be resilient. So, so important, because, as you know, it's so easy for kids to sort of naturally focus in on the things that went wrong or the things that were hard on a given day or that are hard in general. And so if we can really help kids to shift their trajectory of their thinking and focus in more on the good things that happened in a given day, we don't want them to negate the challenge that they face, because challenge is real and challenge has to be dealt with. But if at the same time we can really help them to notice and focus in on the things that are good, the things that are going well around them, to develop a sense of gratitude around that, we're really going to be helping them in the larger sense to become more resilient, and that they're going to have a stronger foundation to move through and beyond the more significant challenges, or any challenge really, as they come up.
Okay, so I am going to go off script a little bit here and ask you about self-confidence, because self-confidence is something that I think that a lot of parents focus on. And we've seen, as the different generations of parents have progressed, that sometimes over self-confidence has, in some ways, for the older millennials, given them a bad rap. Like, maybe they're a little bit too confident, you know, because their boomer parents gave them a trophy for everything. What is the right level of self-confidence that we need to instill in our children?
Right. It's a great question. And it's true. You know, there is, you know, a generation out there that maybe got a trophy for just showing up, or a trophy at every turn. And as a result, they've developed perhaps inflated confidence around that. Problem is that when kids who have found themselves in that kind of a situation get out into the real world and they do face failure, or they don't succeed the first time out, or things are hard, they may not have the tools to respond to that. Yes, we want our children to be confident from an early age, but we want to help them to develop that confidence through falling down and needing to get back up again and trying that same thing from a bit of a different angle, such that maybe they succeed a little bit more the second time, even more the third time. And that's the way we develop mastery and confidence that's going to be steadfast and longstanding, and that we're going to be able to use over the long haul, as opposed to, you know, the more fragile sense of confidence that comes from being rewarded from the outside in at every turn.
Yeah, it just always seems to me that the whole self-confidence thing, we all, like, that's almost the most important attribute, I think, some parents stress. But that's just my opinion. I want to encourage everyone to pick up the book, Bounce, Help Your Children Build Resilience and Thrive in School, Sports, and Life. It's by Dr. Kate Lund. You can find it online, Amazon. Check it out. And thank you, Dr. Lund, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to the teeth. Yes, your child's teeth, and how you could have a healthy smile.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I I'm super excited to be focused today on teeth when it comes to informing and empowering mom. Dr. Scott Shambolt is here. He is a general dentist and the founder of a family practice in Minnesota. He's also the author of two books, Help My Tooth Hurts, Your Guide to Feeling Better Fast, and Fear-Free Dental Care, Finding a Dentist You Can Love. There's something that we all wish and hope for. And he does a whole bunch in the world of dentistry. And today he's on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Dr. Shambolt, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. So fear of going to the dentist is something that our kids have a fear of, and often as parents we have a fear. Why do you think that fear exists?
It comes from a lot of different sources. It can come from experiences that people have had in the past. It can be transferred from experiences that other people have had, either friends or loved ones, coworkers, anybody like that can transfer their experiences and start to instill some fear in you from that. And some people pick up fear of the dentist from the media, from TV, from movies. For whatever reason, dentists aren't always portrayed in the best light in the mass media.
Yeah, I heard the suicide rate amongst dentists was some of the highest in any profession. And maybe it's because everybody dislikes coming to you. I don't know. But let's talk about the procedures. What types of dental procedures are difficult in terms of keeping the patient completely pain-free?
Anything that involves an infection. So when patients come in and they've got pain, they've got an infection, they're much harder to get numb, to get completely numb and comfortable than someone who doesn't have an infection or is in pain, because the infection actually works against the Novocaine that we're administering, and it inactivates it almost as fast as we can put it in sometimes. So that's usually the hardest, and usually to deal with those type of procedures, we're dealing with either an extraction or a root canal and a crown to get rid of the infection.
Yeah. So what are some of the worst cases of dental problems that you've seen as a result? Because often people avoid coming, but where can that land us? It lands us in a worse place, right?
Yes. I had a patient very recently that came in that was tremendously swollen, that to the point where I wasn't able to do anything, and we had to send this person to the hospital emergency room down the road for IV antibiotics. They came back the next day. I took the teeth out. Then we had to send them back to the hospital for a weekend of IV antibiotics and observation because the infection was to the point where it was life-threatening.
Wow. So it's not a good thing to let it go. So tell me, what should folks look for when they look for a pain-free and a fear-free dental office?
They should look for an office that's reducing barriers. They should make it as easy as possible to contact them, to come in. They should reduce the risk as much as possible. One of the things I like to do is we don't charge for new patient exams and x-rays because I don't want you to have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. And all I need from people is just some time, as opposed to paying $200 to $500 for a new patient exam. Another thing.
Wow, that's great. I might have to fly to Minnesota. That might be worth my time.
There you go. Another thing, when you call a dental office, it should be someone friendly that answers the phone. They should be genuinely interested in engaging you and listening to you and helping you. And the same That's when right. you come in for that initial appointment. Whoever is at the front desk and makes initial contact with you, they should be friendly. They should be smiling. They should be willing to help. It shouldn't just be fill out this form and sit down. It should be a friendly encounter. And when you actually do meet the dentist should sit down with you and find out a little bit about your background, what triggered and caused, you know, your fears and phobias, and what he or she can do to help make them better and minimize the effects and make this as easy as possible for you. Those
all really good advice and suggestions for keeping the fear out of going to the dentist's office. Thank you so much, Dr. Chamblaut, for being with us. And I want to remind you about his book, Help My Tooth Hurts, Your Guide to Feeling Better Fast and Fear-Free Dental Care. You want to check it out there on Amazon.com, and we have a link to his site on Mom Talk Radio as well. I want to thank everyone for sharing a little bit of your spring day with us, and stay warm if you're still up north where there's snow on the ground. Come to Florida, and you can be with us here. I'm Maria Bailey. Send me a tweet at Mom Talk Radio. We'll see you next week, this time right here on Mom Talk Radio.